Update, brought to you by Simcox Advocates, advising businesses and families since 1949. Visit simcox.com or call 690 300. Manx Radio's Update with Andy Wint.
Astamai, good evening. It's 5:30. This is Update for Monday, 15th of April, 2024. From Manx Radio, 30 minutes, looking at the latest news on the island, background to that news, and sport, business, travel updates, and the newsmakers in person this evening. Why isn't the Liverpool landing stage operational? Minimum wage may be on the way up. The inquest into the death of a prisoner is reconvened. Douglas Council spent £5,000 on the Queen Camilla visit, and the Ravens got 1 out of 2 in a marathon doubleheader at the weekend.
Man Benham, for all your business and legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes ahead of 6 o'clock, the update news headlines. Fastamai, Chanel Suku.
Fastamai. The inquest into the death of a prisoner at the Isle of Man prison has reconvened at Douglas Courthouse today. Craig Jack Anderson was found dead in his cell at the Jerby facility in November 2022. The 28-year-old had been sentenced to 5 years in prison a day earlier. We've had unconfirmed reports of damage being done to a number of vehicles on board the Mananan this afternoon. It arrived at around 2:30 and it's thought that there had been a delay to some passengers disembarking. And the chief executive of Manx Care says she's shocked and disappointed at the level of abuse she's received since her appointment 3 years ago. In international news, the UK Prime Minister says all sides must show restraint after an Iranian bombardment of Israel over the weekend. Rishi Sunak told MPs investing in a peace process in Israel is necessary to prevent war spreading throughout the region. The parents of the man who killed 6 people in a stabbing spree in Sydney on Saturday says they're heartbroken and sorry. Police are investigating whether Joel may have deliberately been targeting women in the attack. And a moment of silence has been held to mark 35 years since the Hillsborough disaster. People paused in Liverpool at 3:06 p.m. reflecting the time the match was stopped, while 97 balloons was released at Anfield. Those were your headlines, news at 6.
Secure tomorrow today with Man Benham's private client team. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Jeremiah, thank you. Chanel from the Runnels Way Met Office. Strong winds and a gale warning for the North Irish Sea. State of sea, moderate or rough, and moderate through the night. On the island, still a strong northwesterly. It will dry up after dark. Any fleeting showers will go. We're down to 9 through the night. Some wisps of mist and fog on the mountain tonight too. So watch out on the mountain road. For tomorrow, Jemert, mostly dry with sunny spells, a fresh to strong northwest wind, top temperature 11, overnight minimum 5. For Wednesday, Jacrane, dry, bright, less breezy, and 10 degrees. Altogether pleasant. Well, the tide turned. High water was about a quarter of an hour ago. Sunsets, 22 minutes past 8. Low water tonight, 11:30. High water tomorrow morning, 10 to 6. Sunrise, 13 minutes past 6, and the morning low tide at 11:30.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674-573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbrook Trading Estate.
Ministers will face questions in Tillwall this week over why the Isle of Man steam packet hasn't started using the new ferry terminal in Liverpool yet. Douglas Central MHK Chris Thomas wants to know if the costs have increased further as a number of deadline dates have already been missed.
I do remember back in May 2023, after all the officers from the steam packet and DOI and around the rest of government had agreed it, I was given a press release which said that on the 1st of January 2024... the new terminal in Liverpool will be run by the steam packet to prepare for the first Mananan sailings end of March 2024. That hasn't happened. Why hasn't it happened? I think the last excuse was that the Mananan needed a few modifications. I think they were described as minor modifications, and they were being done an hour each evening or something somewhere in the Isle of Man. So I want to find out more about whether those modifications were successfully done, what they were, and now what's the reason that we're not using in the new terminal because it's so much better. The new terminal's got a patient area. It's got a changing places facility for disabled people. You've got access inside into the vessels. Why aren't we using it? At the moment, it seems to me we're paying rent to Peel Ports for the pier head facility, and we've got this new facility, purpose-built facility that suits the Mananan, will suit the Manxman. Why aren't we using it? Steam Packet should have taken it on the 1st of January 2024, as far as I'm concerned. If not, we've spent a hell of a lot more than $80 million because the main contract has what's called preliminaries in it that are chargeable while the contract's going on, and I'm convinced that that must have finished in October time. And then when the Minister of Infrastructure last listed the stuff that was still needed, it was fenders, and it was small things like that. It was getting things ready, training. So there must be some sort of dispute between the steam packet and the government, and that's ridiculous.
The inquest into the death of a prisoner at the Isle of Man prison reconvened today at Douglas Courthouse. For Manx Radio, Tessa Hawley.
Craig Jack Anderson was found dead in his cell at the Jerby facility just after 7:30 in the morning on the 25th of November 2022. The 28-year-old had been sentenced to 5 years in prison a day earlier. Today, a jury of seven people, five women and two men, were sworn in at Douglas Courthouse. Jury inquests are held when someone dies in custody. This jury will hear evidence from more than 60 witnesses over the next 10 days before returning a verdict. They've also had the chance to read a report commissioned by the Department of Home Affairs and conducted by the Prisons and Probation Ombudsman. The PPO carries out independent investigations into complaints and deaths in custody. Coroner of Inquests Graham Cook told the jurors they were there to listen to the facts of the case and make their own decisions about what happened to Mr. Anderson and why he died. He added they were not there to determine guilt or innocence, adding, "No one is on trial, least of all the deceased." Mr. Anderson's mother, Jane Anderson, was the first witness to give evidence. She told the court her son had a history of mental health difficulties, but she didn't believe he'd been seen by anyone for this whilst in custody. She said she'd last spoken to her son on the telephone on the day he was sentenced, telling the court he seemed a bit too happy. She also revealed that following his sentence being handed down, one of her son's friends had contacted the prison to raise concerns about his mental health. "I struggle to understand why something wasn't done," she told the jury. "I always thought Craig would be safe in prison." The inquest will continue tomorrow.
Update brought to you by Simcox Advocates, advising businesses and families since 1949. Visit simcox.com or call 690 300.
22 minutes now before 6 this Monday evening, live from Douglas in the Isle of Man. A Freedom of Information request has revealed how much Douglas Council spent on Queen Camilla's visit to the capital. It totaled £4,942, including the costs of gifts to both the King and to the Queen. Here's our local Democracy reporter Emma Draper.
The Freedom of Information request revealed that Buckingham Palace asked for the town hall to be closed the week of the event for security reasons, but that staff continued to work from home. The plaque, which was unveiled by Her Majesty, cost £714 and was made by a local business, and the easel cost the council over £500. The FOI also confirmed the costs associated with organising the event came from existing budgets, and no financial support was provided by the government. Gifts for King Charles, including a lapel pin and cufflinks, came to £23.10, and a posy for Queen Camilla was approximately £100. She was also gifted a plaque, which cost £194.76. The display cabinet for the letters patent, which confirmed Douglas as a city, was £390. £222 was spent on Union Jack flags, including ones for display, and smaller ones, which were distributed to the crowd outside. The council paid £135 for an unspecified number of umbrellas, and a pillow for the Queen's seat at the town hall was £35. Music for the event was provided by Douglas Town Band and Ellen Vannon Pipes and Drums, which came to £520, whilst the videographer and photographers were paid a total of £1,750 to cover the event. A minibus transporting staff to and from the town hall cost £290, and postage for the invitations to the event was £34.
The second part of FC Isle of Man's doubleheader weekend ended in disappointment as the Ravens slipped to a 5-2 defeat at Barnwell's Ipswich Town in the NWCFL Premier Division on Saturday, but manager Paul Jones is proud of his team's effort in what was the Manx side's second match in less than 24 hours.
We started the game very well and took a good lead, and then, you know, as the first half kind of wore on, we conceded a couple of goals that weren't really like us. The players put a huge shift in and worked ever so hard in very difficult circumstances, not just the pitch, but, you know, playing a second game in less than 24 hours, and did themselves proud and did the club proud. It was just too much in a short space of time, really, and it was always going to be very difficult. People will be judged on other games. You know, they've been brilliant from day one. Our place in the league and how we've gone, especially since Christmas, is testament to how every player who trains with us has gone about their business. And, you know, just because, you know, a certain group of players might have been winning games over the last kind of 3 or 4 weeks, every single player who trains with us contributes to that, and they've been brilliant for us. Got really good availability. We're looking to get really strong sides out and groups out, so that's not an issue at all. You know, our aim is, as I've said to you a few times recently, is to finish as close to fifth place as possible. That's our aim, and to get as high up the league as we possibly can before the end of the season, to lay really strong foundations into next season, so that continues to be the aim. You know, 4 years ago, the players on the Isle of Man and everybody else involved didn't have this sort of opportunity to play or contribute or participate in this level of football, and we've got, people would give an eye teeth to be able to play five games of football at this level, and, you know, we've got four games of football at this level, and we've got that opportunity over the next couple of weeks, and, you know, hopefully everybody's still hungry enough to take it with both hands and really kind of push on to continue a strong finish towards the end of the season. So yeah, it's just about us taking every opportunity to improve as individuals and as a group, and make sure that we leave the shirt and we leave the football part of the club in as good a place as we possibly can season to season. And we've got a good committed group of players over the next kind of couple of weeks to make sure that happens.
This is the most listened to Isle of Man news source, and Manx Radio's update is the Isle of Man's most downloaded news podcast.
A candidate in the upcoming Port St Mary by-election says he'd like to see the village's facilities put to better use. James Helps is standing for the vacant commissioner's seat. The other candidates are David Scott and Jean Tier. James Helps wants to know what's concerning people in the area.
Whilst I might not be standing necessarily with an agenda or a manifesto, I am more than happy for people to approach me and speak to me about what their concerns are, because ultimately it is about the electorate's concerns. There are things that obviously I would like to change. I would like to see better communication. It's that standard thing of when you stand outside of an organisation or a grouping, you're like, why isn't there common sense? Why aren't they doing it like this? And there's always reasons why things aren't being done the way that they seemingly should be done. Michelle Hayward got the potholes filled in on the high street, but in the next winter or two, the potholes are going to be back. That road just needs fully resurfacing. If that's anything that we can affect with the commissioners, because I know that there's been a long push to try and get that sorted. I'd like to see the town hall used more. It's an incredible venue. It's got stage, it's got the potential for like there to be events there every month. We should be utilising it far more, because I think one of the issues the port does suffer from is that there's not really like a central locus, as in Castletown or in Douglas, where everything sort of pulls together, because we're such a linear village. If we could start getting the town hall used more, then that's more a civic thing rather than putting stuff on like a local thing in pubs, which is equally important. See, I'd like to see the facilities used more. The golf pavilion is currently untenanted. We need to find out what's going on with that. There are people in the port who volunteer their time to do these things that perhaps the commissioners don't have the time or the budget for. Perhaps look into something like that, because as I say, I know that there are people who are willing and able to put their time forward to do this.
Manx Radio Business Briefing.
At 16 minutes before 6, automotive distributor Inchcape raced ahead today after it announced the disposal of its UK retail operations to Group One Automotive UK for £346 million. The deal, which doesn't need approval from Inchcape shareholders, is part of the company's strategy to focus on being a higher margin, capital-light, cash-generative, diversified, scalable and global distribution business, the company said in a statement. After the completion of the disposal, expected to happen in the third quarter, Inchcape will then hand £100 million back to shareholders by way of a share repurchase over the next next 12 months. The rest of the money is going to be used to fund future growth. For a full daily market report, go to ramseycrocourt.com. Plans to build a giant battery plant in England have collapsed after more than 3 years of uncertainty. British Volt had planned to build a £3.8 billion car battery factory in Camas in Northumberland, but toppled into administration in January last year. Northumberland County Council said it's now considering allowing this site to be developed into a computer data centre. Council leader Glenn Sanderson said the money from the sale will be used for economic projects along the reopened Northumberland line. British Volt had promised to create 3,000 jobs in Northumberland following the planned creation of its gigafactory, but the business struggled to make a profit and ran out of money, leading to its collapse. Australian firm Recharge Industries took control of British Volt after it went into administration in January.
The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European markets closed mixed. The dollar climbed and sent the yen to its lowest level since 1990. Oil fell and gold rose. The numbers from Ramsey Crookall, the close in London. The FTSE 100's down 0.4%, 7,965. The DAX in Frankfurt's up 0.4%, 18,003. A short time ago in New York City, the Dow Jones Industrial up just over 0.3%, 38,114. The Nasdaq Tech Stocks Index up almost 0.1%, 16,189. The S&P 500 up 0.25%, 5,137. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling's trading at $1 24.6 cents, €1 17.1 cents, and 23 South African rand 63.7 cents. In commodities, gold's up 0.3%, at $2,350 per troy ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude is down 0.4% at $89.17.
I'm running late again. Do you know where I put my car keys?
In the fridge.
Where's my phone?
Under the dog basket.
Bye.
You haven't forgotten that we're seeing Ramsey Crookall later?
No, of course not. 5 p.m. is it?
3:15.
I'll be there.
Life is busy. That's why Ramsey Crookall's team takes time to help you make a mindful investment decision, considering all the options, giving you full control of your financial future. Less stress, more assurance.
Forgot to put my shoes on.
Oh.
See how we can make your money work for you. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrookall.com. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Minimum wage on the Isle of Man could rise to £11.45 an hour from the 1st of July should Timwell give it the green light. The Department for Enterprise and Treasury have recommended the increase from £10.75. The story from Sean Cowper.
There have been calls for an increase ever since the UK's minimum wage surpassed the Isle of Man's on the 1st of April. It went up to £11.44, 1 pence below the new suggested rate. The Minimum Wage Committee said it wasn't able to recommend an increase for the start of the new financial year due to a lack of information about the impact it would have on Manx businesses. So, instead, it suggested an interim rise, which government has matched. It will increase in July if approval is given in May's sitting of Tynwald. An increase to the youth rate for those aged 16 to 17 will take it from £8.05 to £8.75, which is a larger jump than recommended by the committee. Government says it wants to avoid increasing divergence between the two rates. It says an interim rise in the rates also helps ensure progress towards the Island Plan target of aligning the minimum wage with the living wage by April 2025. Going forward, the DfE and Treasury say they'll bring forward any proposals for further increases to Tynwald ahead of the summer recess.
Update brought to you by Simcox Advocates. Manx Radio Sport.
Pastor my John Moss.
Good evening. A final decision on the 2026 Commonwealth Games could be forthcoming at the end of May. For those catching up, the Australian state of Victoria withdrew from staging the Games because it was going to cost too much. And then Singapore and Malaysia said they weren't interested. But Glasgow have said they could stage a scaled-back offering. Now, if that happens, it could have a bearing on the Manx effort because a scaled-back Games might mean the 20 sports staged at Birmingham could be slimmed down to 13 or less, perhaps 10. The Commonwealth Games is the Manx equivalent of the Olympic Games because, unlike the Olympic Games, Manx competitors enter as part of a Manx, not a British team. So Manx athletes will be watching with interest if or when certain sports, their own sports perhaps, are included in the slimming out process. Cycling and Tyler Hannay, Saint-Pont, was 79th in the Tour de Loire-Echère. Rowan Voster was top finisher for Utmost Isle of Man in the Pennard-Baies d'Iroise. Mark Cavendish, of course, is shortly due to start the Tour of Turkey. In the Manchester Marathon over the week, weekend best Manx finisher of 44 Manx finishes was Eamon Farrell, 2 hours 44.47. Matthew Colley was 2 minutes behind. In 3 hours and 15, setting a new Isle of Man Women's Vets 55 record, was Joanne Shade. The second round of the Tower Insurance Down the Line League at Merivale Santon in ideal conditions over the weekend resulted in a Class A win for P. Ward, with M. Riley second. In the B Class, D. Collett the winner from J. Moore. C Class, Sir T. Kameen from M. Whitehead. And the Handicap Cup went to M. Whitehead. In the afternoon, the second round of the Manx Petroleum's Olympic Skeet, the winner, Jeff Corkill, 40 points. But we had a three-way tie for second place between Michael Cross, Ted Davis and Giulio Fabrizio, 38 points.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Got a delay inbound at Ronald's Way. The 5:25 Loganair from Manchester won't be in until 20 past 6. Then it's the 25 past 7 Loganair from Edinburgh, 25 to 8 EasyJet from Gatwick, and the 5:08 Loganair from Liverpool, the returning patient transfer, won't be back until 25 to 9. And it's the 10 to 9 Loganair from London City showing on time at the moment. So outbound, the 5:30 Loganair to London City went away on time. Then it's the 6 o'clock Loganair to Liverpool, the 5 to 8 Loganair to Edinburgh, and the 5 past 8 EasyJet back to London Gatwick. On the roads, Brighton Terrace is closed between Mount Bradder and Trinity Church in Douglas, just by the Rosemount pub. They're doing gas main replacement. Hillside Avenue, Douglas, closed through to Circular Road for adjacent office window replacement. Part of Switzerland Road's closed till November for building work. Phase closures on the Starview Road for water main work, and water main work too in Colby. Phase closures on the Ballochill Ferrick Road. Temporary lights on Shore Road, Gansey, near Mount Gorn Road for patching work. And Cian Drogheda Road in Andreas has got some water main work and phase closures too. Temporary lights on Braddon Road near Strangclose for a pedestrian crossing. Part of the old Castletown Road's closed between Port Cedric Glen Road and Marine Drive for carriageway repairs. Temporary lights on Vicarage Road, Braddon at Stevenson's Way roundabout for water main replacement. And in Laxey, temporary lights on New Road near Lurgy Graw Junction for excavation work. On the boats, Manxman left Heesham at 25 to 4. She'll be back at about 7:15 tonight, 7:45. On time, heading to Heesham, getting there at 11:30 tonight.
Quayside Tyres and Service Centre, with 1 year's free engine warranty from Castrol. Get more with Quayside.
It's hoped government roadshows next week will help rebuild relationships with the public. That's you, by the way. Justice and Home Affairs Minister Jane Paul Wilson, MHK, says no good just listening and not taking on feedback.
We're hoping the format will be relatively informal, actually, and create the opportunity for people to have one-to-one conversations with ministers, which allows each of us to do a lot of listening and also allows for us to have some dialogue about the work that is going on and where people are raising particular concerns or questions, where we can offer some information around what work's going on in relation to that. I'm really hoping that we do get a lot of people coming along from all sections of our community. The roadshows are obviously happening in the evening, and I completely understand that people have got very busy lives, particularly people who are working and juggling families. But I really would encourage people, if they can, to make some time, even if they just call in for half an hour, to try and catch up, have a conversation, because I'm particularly keen that the younger portion of our community have the opportunity to come along and say what's on their mind and get the opportunity to talk to people and have that two-way conversation. You know, social media is obviously extremely active, but it can sometimes be quite difficult to have a fully engaged conversation that you can have when you meet with someone face-to-face. So I think there's always going to be a place, I hope, for face-to-face engagement and discussion. You know, we'll see how these roadshows go. All ways that we can sensibly engage with people are worth considering. You know, the government conference has been an opportunity to highlight different areas of focus and to bring along sometimes expert speakers who can share information and insight, which I hope has been of use and help to the public. But I think the roadshows are really a good opportunity to reconnect directly, to listen, as I say, and also to have those conversations, which I think are so important.
The Isle of Man in 30 minutes. Update on Manx Radio with Andy Wind.
Fastermite 5 to 6. The founder of Bush's Breweries described the company's move from Mount Murray to Castletown as a wonderful addition to the ancient ancient town. Last week, planning approval was unanimously granted for a new tap room and a 90-seat eatery to be developed, as well as offices. The founder, Martin Brunschweiler, told Manx Radio not only will the move create jobs, but also add vibrancy to the south of the Isle of Man.
Nowadays, breweries, they've sort of morphed into different things now, and a lot of breweries now, you can't just make beer. You need to have a way of showcasing your beer, and the plans in place, it will have a tap room, so people will be able to taste the beer, a visitor centre, so we'll be able to show people around the brewery and then show them a bit of our history. And it happens in cities and towns across the UK and across the world that it's part of the experience that you have a brewery tour, and apart from just seeing the brewery, you get to taste the products and hopefully buy the t-shirt. And you know, and as you say, we're hoping that all these people who are planning to come on the cruise boats, and that they'll all it'll be added to their itinerary, and we'll get to see a whole load of people that we wouldn't normally have seen. We have been asked for years about doing brewery tours out at Mount Murray, but we just weren't really geared up to it, and this will give us a chance to showcase and to be, you know, very visible and highly accessible for people on the island. And I have to just add, Chanel, that we are very conscious that we are totally respectful of the people who have concerns, who are in the neighbourhood, and we wanted to go out of our way to reassure them that we intend to be really good neighbours.
That's it for Update Tonight, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Chanel Suku, producer Amy Griffiths. After the news at 6, Phil Gaunt's here with Agenda. Greatest Hits with Chris Kinley at 6:30. Time for Brass with Ian Cotcher at 9. I'm back tomorrow at 5:30.
WINT.